problem.
People need to calm down, get a little less politically correct, and I would say, you know, love everybody.
You clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in.
This is a freak show.
An intergalactic freak show.
What do you make of that?
It's about right.
I keep telling my colleagues that this is the new normal. God help us all.
Hold on a sec. I'm going to get me a beer.
Well, who wouldn't want an opportunity to talk to Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty?
Well, Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, who host the popular radio talk show, ask the same question of their listeners, and here's their response.
Tonight, I ask you to choose greatness.
I give you America itself.
This is Ed McMahon, and now, here's Armstrong and Getty.
From Studio C.
Si, senor.
A dimly lit room deeper than the bowels of the Armstrong and Getty Communications compound. I just heard some news report from a millennial. You know, next generation talks that way. Well, everything's in question. Today we're under the tutelage of our general manager.
The Green New Deal will change everything and turn everything green. It's not easy being green. Kermit the Frog, 1973.
Oh, yeah, that's AOC's thing.
Correct. She Guevara and her colleagues on the left offering a Green New Deal for America.
Ocasio-Cortez, I saw a tweet from Dennis Miller who said, in 5 years, AOC is either going to be the Bachelorette or President of the United States. That was funny. Yeah, da-da-da-da. How you doing?
I have almost entirely taken her seriously as a political force.
I have too.
I've been somewhat mocking of her ideology because I find it awful and I think it would be ruinous for the country. So perhaps I've been disrespectful, but I have dealt with her entirely as a politician until this moment. Gosh, she's cute. She's really, really cute.
Just notice
that.
What
a cute girl. I don't know. It's just that white outfit she was rocking at the State of the Union was really working for me. We just have wow. to realize wow. we would have to come together early in our relationship. And I'd say, baby, we just can't talk about politics. We would talk, who wants to talk about their job anyway?
Let's not talk about work.
Right. Right. Now put on that George Washington outfit again. I love you in that. It's fabulous with the ponytail.
Oh, yeah. I really wish, it was driving me crazy. I was watching some news this morning, last night, last week, last several years. The number of newscasters who use the term blackface, including Fox.
Everybody.
That's not accurate. How come we can't wrap our heads and hands around this issue?
Well,
blackface is a particular thing.
Couple of reasons. Number one, ignorance. Number two, and I say this all the time. Cable news, newspapers, media outlets, like everybody but us, because we're too stupid to do it, is constantly trying to add drama and anger and conflict to every story. If you say, you know, he darkened his skin with makeup to look like Michael Jackson, that's not nearly as good as saying he wore blackface, which is, you know, the stuff of the minstrel shows and the Klan and hate.
Is the picture that may or may not be him in the yearbook, would you consider that blackface
That's
or no?
That's pretty blackfacey.
Yeah.
It's not blackface per se, though.
It would depend on what he was doing. I mean, if he was the whole blackface thing was about the routine you were doing, not the makeup.
Right. You know, obviously, if they were there together, what was that? I mean, it was bad.
Yeah. But for instance,
but was their act like we're a couple that can't get along?
Well, this
or something like that.
This, I mean, third guideline, so you got racist, sex offender, racist. The third one,
right?
The third one. He.
I'll have a Virginia sandwich, please.
He put brown makeup on to do a rap thing, like his favorite rapper of the time, Curtis Blow, from back in the '80s.
Yeah.
That's definitely not blackface, and unless it was a mocking routine, which I don't. It's not what he says. He was a rap fan, and so they were doing. Mm-hmm. But so the New York Post came out yesterday with why Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon aren't talking about this issue.
Ah.
And Jimmy Kimmel, back on the Man Show that he used to do with Adam Carolla, would put on black makeup and do this Karl Malone routine, an NBA player, and come off as a dumb guy.
Okay.
And I don't consider that a blackface routine, but by the modern standards we're using, he should be out of the business.
Right.
And Jimmy Fallon once put on black makeup and did his Chris Rock impersonation on Saturday Night Live, which I don't think is racist at all. But if you're going to use the modern standard we're now using, he should be out of the business.
Well, I'd say it's beyond question that Jimmy Fallon loves and respects Chris Rock.
It's not even a question.
Right. So, well, yeah, but
I was hoping
welcome
that
to stupid media America. Accuracy doesn't matter.
Should we hold comedians to different standards than politicians?
No, we should hold the politicians to the same standards as the comedians and let it go. If it was just...
Unless it was intended to be cruel, mocking, or racist. And the time matters, too. Dressing up like Jacko and darkening your skin in 1983 was not a big deal.
But I have no, I have zero fear of Jimmy Fallon making any sort of progress on public policy that affects my life. That fear exists with politicians.
Well, yeah, I get it. I get it.
I mean, you know how it would work. I mean, if people took it seriously, advertisers would boycott and we can't have a racist blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's different. You're absolutely right, Sean. It's different. But the whole fake outrage game, you know, that's a giant wave of ugly that's sweeping across the land.
I'm just grasping onto any reason to get the olds out of office. I don't care what it is.
Wow, listen to this.
We just did the whole thing. Okay.
That's ageism.
I think I made my point. Yes. I thought the Jimmy Fallon
stuff. That's hate speech.
The Jimmy Kimmel stuff. Has any audio come out on that? I would think there'd be some Jimmy Kimmel audio out. What I read about his Carl Malone routine sounded pretty funny.
Well, we've been told quite specifically that if the president says, for instance, Maxine Waters is a dope, that is racist.
Right, comes from a racist place.
Oh, the old saying, a black person stupid, that's racism. Have you ever watched the Three Stooges? A lot of people call a lot of people stupid. It's not necessarily racism. But if that is indeed the wave of outrage sweeping across the land, and that's part of it, well then, yeah, Jimmy Kimmel clearly is just a raving racist to impugn the intelligence of... NBA superstar and all-time scoring leader, right?
And then
Karl Malone.
And then I'll get off this issue. But so then we also have
and
to
we'll
believe
move on to John Stockton. Yeah,
we also have to believe because nobody's come forward with any racist claims of any kind for any of these two gentlemen. That they chose that one instance.
We're
in the
back
80s.
To the Virginia guys,
yeah.
Right?
The Virginia guys. They racist sex offender, racist. The first and third guy,
right?
They got out their racist feelings that one time in the 80s, and then have kept it secret the rest of their lives.
Exactly,
as nobody on either side of the aisle has come up with anything racist either one of them have done.
Exactly,
but it was clearly racist that thing they did, and they let their real side show once in the 80s.
It's like that's Batman, ridiculous. Bruce Wayne, very similar.
It's really ridiculous.
They've kept it under wraps.
Let's introduce everybody
as
squad.
Raving liberals. I mean, that's part of it, too.
Yeah.
Although, I appreciated who was it who said it so eloquently when I was watching the news last night that we've come to realize this is not. Oh, it was Senator Scott said, listen, I think the whole wearing black makeup or doing things that were politically incorrect or uncomfortable, et cetera, that's not a Republican problem. It's not a Democrat problem. It's a human problem. Can we just agree on that? So, yeah. Yeah. Plenty of lefties have things like that in their closet.
Let's introduce everybody in the squad. There's our board operator, Michelangelo, pressing buttons, flipping toggles, pulling levers. Sorry this morning, Michael.
Well, speaking of dumb, this morning where I lived, it was very cold. And so there was frost on the windshield, and it was solid. And I turned on the car, and instead of getting out and scraping the ice, I just decided, you know what, there's a little hole that I can see through. And
I've only done it 1,000 times.
You know, it would take me 20, 30 seconds to scrape, you know, the windshield, but no, what do
to
I do?
Me,
I
Michael,
go driving down the street with looking through a
cars
little
hole. To the side and coming at you on streets, they're just distractions.
Yeah.
Let's keep our eyes firmly focused ahead, straight ahead of us.
Oh, yeah, I drove down my driveway with my head out the window this morning because you couldn't see anything out
like
the windshield.
Like a dog.
There is a positive Sean whose smile lights up the room. How are you, Sean?
Doing very well. I want to share a brief anecdote from what is my favorite sports league, and that is the National Basketball Association. Trade deadline is at some point today, so there's been much rumors and trades happening all week. It's been a crazy week. But the one of the biggest names is Anthony Davis of the struggling Pelicans, trying to get him...
Because of the oil spill.
Yes, yes.
That's why the Pelicans are struggling.
Trying to get his way onto the Lakers with LeBron James.
Oh, boy, that'd be something.
Another all-star team on the West Coast.
Yes.
So the Pelicans have appeared to have been engaging in bad faith trading without they have never intended to actually trade him to the Lakers. They just wanted the Lakers to keep throwing up their offer, throwing the team into chaos, which led to some of their players hearing when they're on the road, they get chance of, LeBron's going to trade you. But just the whole, I'm not trading you. I'm going to descend your organization, psychological warfare. Right. I love
that's pretty good.
That.
I'm going to make you drop your pants just to make you drop your pants.
Oh,
wow.
That's great.
That's pretty good. LeBron's going to, that's a great chance.
That's a good chance.
There's Marshall Phillips, who does our news every day. How are you, Marshall?
I'm doing very well. I have a three-pack of celebrity birthdays for you this morning.
Do we have time for a three-pack? You can see the clock, right?
Oh, okay. I'll do it very, very quickly. I'm going to run through them, and then I was going to have you rank them by who you think has the greatest net worth.
All right, hurry up.
All right, here we go. Garth Brooks, 57 today.
That's a good one.
Ashton Kutcher, 41, and Chris Rock, 54 today.
You know, wild card in both Chris Rock and Garth Brooks is they got divorced. That's the wild card in their wealth.
Yep.
Ooh. Garth Brooks, I think, he married like his high school sweetheart, so I think, but I still think he has the most money.
Okay. I'm with Jack.
Yeah. Okay. Positive Sean? Anything?
Yeah, I concur.
All right. You're absolutely right. Garth Brooks, $315 million.
Whoa! He'd be a billion if he were still with her.
Yeah. Ashton, $210 million. And Chris Rock.
Ashton Kutcher Kelso.
Yeah.
Has 200 some million dollars.
$210 million.
Very smart guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and Chris Rock coming in with a net worth of $100 million. So there you go, the three-pack.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty on this. It is a Thursday, February 7th, year 2019. We're Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
Official beginning of the show at Mark.
And that is why I apologize to Chief Baker and why I've made a very public apology.
Joe declared Elizabeth Warren done yesterday. I think she's still got a few arrows in the quiver. I think she's going to circle the wagons, be on the warpath against Trump today.
I disagree. Take her off of the spit on the over the campfire. Fire. Huh? She's done. Her deer meat is cooked.
What are other headlines, Marshall?
A political meltdown in Virginia continues on. Elizabeth Warren, her American Indian apology tour is going on as well. And Delta Airlines apologizing for creepy napkins. Coming up minutes from now.
I really liked my Warpath, but deer meat is cooked is pretty good. How does mailbag
stretch,
look?
Honestly, yours was better. It's fine. It's great. We'll have it in moments.
It's next on the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation. She's waiting
by the... Remember, as you're enjoying this fabulous podcast of the radio show, you can also get the Armstrong and Getty One More Thing podcast and Armstrong and Getty Extra Large, our long-form interviews, available via the iTunes podcast app and the iHeart app.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
The road to 2020 for the Democrats goes through Venezuela, according to Lindsey Graham. So we'll talk about the socialist elements of the Democratic Party at some point, I suppose.
Wow. Okay.
Kind of funny.
Clearly.
A funny shot.
And we'll let you know what's in that Green New Deal. I, for one, am very excited. Very excited about it. Mailbag. Yeah, first of all, a freedom-loving quote of the day from Milton Friedman once again. This is one of his classics. The society that puts equality before freedom will end up with neither. The society that puts freedom before equality will end up with a great measure of both. Enforcing equality denies liberty. If you'd like to sanction people who deny equality, you can do that. But the government doesn't need to be in charge of making everybody equal. It's a horrible idea.
My favorite thing we've heard on that in recent years is that you can't even get equality out of your own kids.
Right.
In the same family with exactly the same opportunities.
Yeah. You raise two children in the same family. It's impossible to make them equal as adults. How are you going to do that again across a broader
society? And often widely different results.
Right. Yeah. Indeed. Here is Brian, who is listening to the podcast form of the Armstrong and Getty Show, which reminds me, you can get now on iTunes and the iHeart app, Armstrong and Getty's One More Thing. It's our extra segment of the show, our daily on-demand podcast. That's the actual radio show. And also Armstrong and Getty Extra Large, our long-form interviews. So those are all available on iTunes now. Subscribe, won't ye? We were talking about Stephen Hawking and time travel.
Yes, we were, because we were high. That was the... As a Monday, we get high in the 8 o'clock hour.
So sorry. So sorry. I got so baked. But we're discussing the Virginia governor and the lieutenant governor debacle, which was it at the time. Then you said the third person in line, Virginia, needs to go through their past because, well, it's about to come to you. Then shortly after you guys went off the air that day, the news broke that the number three person in Virginia does have skeletons in their closet in regards to, quote, unquote, blackface. Wait a minute. I think you guys are from the future, and you just blew your cover. So tell me, who wins in 2020? What's the result of the Mueller probe? Does the world end in 12 years, like AOC says? But most importantly, how awesome is that California bullet train in your time? Oh, it's amazing, Brian. It's amazing. It only took 40 years and $310 billion. But now Californians can go from the north chunk of the state to the south chunk at three times the expense and twice the time as a Southwest Airlines flight.
And so far, seven people have done that.
Right, right.
All politicians.
Every single month the train has been open, at least one person has ridden on it. Here's Timmy. Hey, guys, you know, I'm Danish, DNA-wise, roughly 10%, as it turns out. I don't speak the language, never been there. I have little knowledge of Danish culture, and have certainly not lived the Danish experience. I love a Danish right now.
Wow.
Cheese, wow. Cheese Danish.
That's
with,
pretty
with
funny.
With my cup of coffee? How good is that? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm distracted.
Yes.
Am I high now? I don't believe I am. Would it be legitimate for me to claim being Danish? Were there some benefit for doing so? I've always kind of seen this coming in an age when there are benefits for claiming to be of certain race or ethnicity. How much of anything do you have to be that thing? 50%? 25%? 1%? The idea, come on, if this isn't clear to you, well, what the heck? Maybe you're a little late to the party. The idea of how much blood do you have 25% black blood? Are you 50% Jew blood? Are you 3/4 Armenian blood? That's the stuff of the most horrifying genocidal racists in humankind. And now progressives are embracing that sort of silliness? It's not silliness, it's a horror. One more note, as we're running out of time already, Elizabeth Warren has apologized again. She said, as a proud Native American woman, I now realize that dressing as a white woman at those parties all those years ago was insensitive. I did indeed wear paleface at a college costume party.
I think this is a satire or something.
Mocking my people!
Marshall's News coming up. Lots to talk about on the Armstrong and Getty Show. Joe and I often talk behind the scenes about what's the headline in real people's lives, because real people aren't, not everybody's a news junkie, and the headline in your household is different often.
Sure, and a lot of the mainstream media people, New York, D.C., they're self-obsessed.
One of the headlines in my household is the Lego 2 movie coming out this weekend.
No.
I mean, that's the talk of the house.
Murr. When's the new Toy Story movie coming out? Summertime?
Oh, probably? Yeah, that was one of those.
Got to be after school's out.
That's not cool for kids. I understand why they do it the way they do it, but to put out a Toy Story ad and then say, coming in 6 months.
Mm.
You know, 6 weeks for a kid is just, why'd you even tell me?
There's where you're wrong, Jack. I'm sorry, but kids these days are soft. They don't have to wait for anything. You order it on Amazon, it's there before you hit return. 6 to 8 weeks delivery. That was my childhood. And then sometimes it didn't show up at all, which is fine because you'd grown 6 inches, you'd totally changed your interests, and you'd forgotten you ordered the X-ray goggles anyway.
Hilarious. Let's get the news now with Marcia Phillips.
Well, Virginia's top three leaders embroiled in political scandals. Governor Ralph Northam was asked to step down last week after a racist photo surfaced from his medical school yearbook.
Has he at any point in the last 3 days said,
The governor's office confirming...
When the people behind him who want his job get caught up in scandal...
The governor's office confirming he has hired a D.C.-based PR firm to advise him on crisis communications.
Well, yeah, don't moonwalk.
Yes.
That's my first tip.
Yes.
Don't even consider it, let alone do it.
Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax being accused of sexually assaulting a woman 15 years ago, and then Virginia's Attorney General Mark Herring is
third in line.
Admitted to darkening his face when he portrayed his favorite rapper at the time.
The number four guy accused of clubbing Harp Seals. So that's ugly.
The number four guy is a Republican. Yes. The interesting part of that is he got his job because of a coin flip.
Right.
Hell of a system we got.
He actually got his job because of a coin flip. So you could have, I don't think it'll happen, but you could have the governorship change parties over a coin flip.
Yep.
I don't think it'll happen.
And now...
Yeah, I have a feeling, and it's a rather strong one, that the Democrats of Virginia will take their principles, fold them neatly, and put them in a drawer until they need to bring them out in the future. And, oh, man, do we have some priceless tape for you flip-flopping on how seriously to take the alligators of sexual assault, the accusers.
Yeah, so the number two guy, who's black.
Yes.
He's not a racist, right. He's black.
Right.
There are black racists, Jack.
Yeah, but he's not been accused of racism. He's been accused of forcing himself on a woman. She came forward yesterday.
She has come forward. Vanessa Tyson, a professor at Scripps College in California, says Fairfax forced her to engage in sexual acts with him in his hotel room in Boston during the Democratic National Convention. Tyson releasing a statement through her lawyers saying in no way could Fairfax consider their encounter consensual.
God, this gets back to what we've discussed 1,000 times since the hashtag MeToo started. Yeah. God, who knows unless you were there? You got two people, probably alcohol involved, in a heat of passion. One person thinks it's passionate. The other person thinks they're being forced.
Or in this case, it was consensual to a certain point.
Right. She says they consensually kissed in the hotel room. But then it got out of hand. She says he pressed her head down and forced himself on her. Tyson said she was crying. She couldn't stop him because he was stronger than her. And he should have known she was in extreme distress as all this was going down.
He could be, you know, a guy who rapes women. I don't have any idea. He also could be a guy who's looking at the story and thinking, I have no idea what she's talking about.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's so troubling. It's so difficult. Do we know what she's a professor of?
Yes. She's got her PhD in the politics of sexual something or other.
For goodness sakes, why is it always social sciences at a liberal university?
Now, she was a victim of child molestation and incest in her own family, which would drive you that direction.
Oh, man.
But she does have her degree at a very high level in the politics of sexual. I got to get the wording. I mean, it's like a PhD paper what she's coming forward with.
Listen, she might be 100% truthful.
Of course.
100%. I want that out there. But as we've described through the years, if there is a false accusation of racism on a college campus, if there is a noose on a door and it turns out that the kid put it there themselves, if there is a, you know, go away lesbian bee, you know, painted on a college professor's door, 90% of the time they do it themselves. And it's always social science professors. Always. Physics professors never do it. Never. Math. It doesn't happen. Environmental sciences, they don't do it. It's always the social sciences. But again, people on the conservative side of things are guilty of this all the time. And my friends, I'd ask you to not be. Just because something is hinted at might conceivably be true, that's not proof of anything. It's just interesting and worth considering.
Switching gears, Delta Airlines and Coca-Cola now apologizing for giving Delta passengers napkins that encourage them to write down their phone numbers and give it to their plane crush. The napkins, which have the Diet Coke logos on them, said, because you're on a plane full of interesting people, and hey, you never know. And on the other side, be a little old school. Write down your number and give it to your plane crush, along with spaces to go ahead and write your name and number.
And I'm sorry, who's pretending to be offended by this?
Who's pretending?
Because it's entirely innocent.
Sure, you can have my number, baby.
A number of flyers tweeted at the companies about the napkins, calling them creepy. All right. So the companies apologized.
Everybody's so fake outrage these days. It tires my arse out. What about the tired arse? When will we get our rights?
This might help your arse. There were some flyers who liked the napkins, however. One of them tweeting, hey, thanks for encouraging people to talk to one another, make new friends.
No,
or
not
do
that.
Anything besides stare mindlessly at their phones.
Can I stare mindlessly at my phone while I'm on the plane? I enjoy it, actually.
There you go.
I work like crazy and talk to people all day. A few minutes of quiet is cherished. Just leave me alone.
There you go. That's your news.
Yes, Sean.
So it seems her degree is in political science, but she is described as an... Oh, where'd that go? Described as an expert on U.S. Congress policy formulation, race, gender, and social justice.
I'll come up with the phrase that I saw about the whole... The dynamics of sexual power or something was one of her papers she wrote.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm telling you.
Which, you know, if you were abused as a child, that's perfectly legitimate direction to go.
Indeed.
But you would be hyper-focused on the issue, obviously. I don't know. There's no telling.
And in a world where you must claim victimhood to be at the highest level of, that society, which doesn't make it... Not true, she's claiming.
I hope everybody hears this with both ears.
Why is it always a social science person?
I don't have any idea whether it was full-on rape, full-on she was into it consensual, or where in that long distance in between it could have been. I have no idea, neither do you.
Right.
There
you
go.
And there's no way to figure it out. So what are you supposed to do?
That's your news. I'm Marshall Phillips, the Armstrong and Getty Show, the conscience of the nation.
It's another one of those. He could be looking at that and saying, he could be horrified and thinking, she wasn't into it? She sure seemed into it. Oh my God.
Or anything in between.
Or he thinks she's a nut job. Or he's a full-on rapist.
And memories change as well over the course of the many years. So it's a rough one. Old coin flip Carl is sitting there thinking, hey, all this stuff's really interesting, but I'm clean. I'd be the governor. I'd be a good governor.
Coin flip Carl. Boy, lots of investigations on Trump kicking off today with the new Democratic House.
Jack, we must legislate, not investigate.
Stay with us. You're listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty.
The conscience of the nation.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Okay, so again, I have not the slightest idea. Well, let's start here. I don't care who's the governor of Virginia. Doesn't matter to me at all. Makes no difference to me whatsoever. Don't know these three gentlemen at all. Don't know if I would like them, don't like them,
whatever. I think Dr. Infanticide needs to go. I will tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Current governor.
He's got a horrific view of abortion. He seems like a dope based on his press conference. So for those two things, whether he was racist or not, which nobody even is claiming, really.
No.
But so then number two, you got this. He's at a political convention years ago, and him and this woman meet and hit it off and go to his hotel room and start making out. And then after that, depends on whose story he believes. I believe they had consensual sex, or she says that he forced himself on her. In her fellowship at Stanford, her research focuses on the politics surrounding sexual violence, according to her biography. That's what she has her fellowship in Stanford on, the politics of sexual violence.
Wow.
She's been a vocal advocate for sexual violence prevention as a founding member of the Boston Area Rape Crisis Center.
Okay.
And
worthy work.
Is scheduled to speak this week at Stanford with a speech titled Betrayal and Courage in the Age of #MeToo. Doesn't mean she wasn't... Raped.
Maybe it motivated her. Maybe, you know, between her childhood and that alleged attack, that motivated her to get more heavily into this field. You don't know. No. I just know whenever these things seem really wishy-washy and overdue, and it's always a social sciences professor. I don't know what's going on there.
So there's, and I'll stop talking about it, but there's two issues we got to work out. this whole, because you can't always believe the victim. You can't. That's dumb.
Well, we just did the story in San Diego area. One of the candidates for the state legislature was falsely accused of sexual assault by a woman who is now doing time because it became infinitely clear she made it up. And he lost the election. And, well, he lost the primary and didn't make it onto the ballot. And he'd been thought to have a very good chance.
But both of these issues, we got to figure it out as a country. Is your career over if anybody accuses you of sexual assault, regardless of the whether it can be proven or not? And is your career over if you ever put black shoe polish on your face, even if you were in no way trying to mock anybody black? In fact, you were trying to honor or emulate somebody black.
Sure. Out of respect or love. Right?
So, but we got to figure those out.
Yeah. Maybe. Or do we? Or will, you know, certain aspects of this outrage culture just go away? They'll just kind of vanish like disco. I don't know. I will tell you this. The issue of sexual assault rape is to be taken extremely seriously.
Sure.
And you know, certainly, and most of you know this, in spite of what the Gillette commercial would have you believe, most of you are bringing up your boys to respect women and always treat them with kindness, and good for you. I sure did. But you have to remember, so much like the you're talking about Governor Northam with his alleged blackface thing, or the number three guy now, the attorney general, who may have put on dark makeup to look like Curtis Blow, of all things. Remember that the outrage is about making the accuser look righteous. It's not about justice. Mm. It's not about, you know, trying to prove anything. Northam's no racist. Nobody has ever, ever, ever claimed that. But it's not about that. It's about the accuser throwing stones and being righteous. It's an old-timey thing, man. Salem witch trials, Islamic fundamentalism, 100 examples through history. It's usually religious extremists, but this secular outrage culture is the new religion of the left. It bears so many hallmarks of a fundamentalist religion. Ask a religious professor someday. He'll tell you about it.
DEA agent.
A religion professor, I should say. If he's like a religious math professor, he probably has no opinion on the topic. My mistake.
DEA agent who is in charge of catching El Chapo says Sean Penn should be in prison for helping El Chapo escape.
Wow.
Once.
Well, I'm in favor of that.
Which I thought was interesting.
Any excuse to imprison Sean Penn.
So it's been all downhill since Spicoli.
Right.
The new Lego movie, Batman Falls in Love, so it's got some romance in it. Very excited about that.
Lego love.
Lego love. Yeah, there are logistical questions that immediately leap to mind.
If you haven't seen those Lego movies, they are funny.
Number one, can it snap off?
I don't know if this one features Lloyd. Lloyd with two L's. Lloyd. That was the star of the first Lego movie, but and his troubled relationship with his father.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So a number
was his father like a Lincoln Log, or was he a Lego as well?
No, he's a Lego as well, and ended up being a villain who took over the city.
Do they
and
still
then
have
Lloyd had to take him on?
Oh, I'm sorry. Do they have the Duplo blocks still for the little kids?
Those
are the supersized, easier to handle Legos.
Yeah,
back in the day,
Legos that you couldn't choke on. Essentially,
yeah. That's probably part.
I don't know. We got those. Were they not Lego brand?
Oh, they were just called Duplo. I think they were Legos though.
I think so too.
Yeah,
we have 8 million Legos at my house.
Next hour, the Slinky, underrated.
So many investigations kicking off on the president today. Now that the Democrats control the House, Adam Schiff announced yesterday a 5-point investigation, 5 different points of investigation that, according to the New York Times, was well beyond the scope of what people were expecting. And everybody was expecting it to be a pretty broad scope.
Wow.
So it's even more broad than that.
So it's starting to smell to me like just a massive taxpayer-funded Oppo research.
It is,
campaign.
Yeah. It is going to be a. He's so clearly under the rule of the Russians. We get to look at every aspect of his life from birth till now.
Oh, to look for evidence.
No matter what it is, to find evidence of it, which is troubling. I mean, if this is the direction we go, where we just come up with a theory. And then investigate every aspect of your life trying to back that up. And
knowing, of course, go ahead.
Anything else we come up with
exactly.
Along the line?
Exactly. Well, knowing if you lay anyone's life 100% bare, you'll find something.
Especially, and this is why I hate the idea of making it mandatory that you reveal your taxes to run for president. It will eliminate businessmen from ever running for president.
Yeah.
Because taxes are complicated, and a lot of people don't think the tax code is unfair, because it's not. But just because you took advantage of the legal tax code doesn't mean you did anything wrong. Every time they get into a tax issue, it is so poorly reported and handled by the media.
Right.
That's why I don't want it to be a law that you have to show your taxes.
Right. You pick any American business person and you show me their taxes and give me half an hour, especially if I have an accountant sitting by my side, I'll come up with five really scary, nasty sounding things they're doing that are clearly sticking it to the working class as they follow tax law.
Well, and the wealthier you are, the more likely you're going to find him, because you have such complicated taxes.
Right.
So whether it was Mitt Romney's tax rate, because he did release his taxes and everybody went crazy about it, didn't do anything illegal,
right,
completely following a tax code. You know, he got beat up for that for a long, long, long time throughout the campaign. And then Trump, the carrying the losses in a business forward.
Right. The New York Times did 10,000 words on that.
They made such a huge deal out of that. Perfectly legal. And Democrats didn't even move to change the tax law.
Right.
Because it's something they all do also.
Didn't even trot it out to a committee.
But so that I'm bothered by that.
Yeah.
The digging into the taxes, and every aspect of his taxes will come out. And it will be beaten up in the media for days at a time, even if it's legal and nobody on either side of the aisle wants to change it. That's going to be very disappointing.
You know, I was going to say I have a theoretical question, but I guess it won't be theoretical because I think it's going to happen. What will the effect of all this be, though? Will it be to erode Trump support, or will it be, as I've described, people in my real life, great people, reasonable people, who had the 360-degree nuanced view of Trump. I wish he wouldn't tweet. I wish he wouldn't punch down. I don't know why he has to talk like that. You know, blah, blah, blah. I like the trades, but he really, I wish he wouldn't. Blah, blah, blah. Those people have hardened into blanket, I'm with Trump. Screw the media. Screw Nancy Pelosi. I'm with Trump. Will it have an effect more like
it
that?
It might. Now,
Adam Schiff's about as likable as a rug burn. So... I mean,
I don't like rug burns at all.
What, exactly, Sean. Oh, if his objectionable puss is on the news every night, who knows what effect that'll have.
Now, if they come up with a 1040 EZ that under expenses he wrote down cash to Putin for a presidential election win.
Right.
In crayon.
Well, that would be evidence.
Then we'll fully discuss that. That would have been a mistake to write that down.
Show me the man, I'll bring you the crime.
But man, oh man, oh man, we're going to be hearing about this endlessly. Whether Trump's there for 2 or 6 years,
this
will never end starting today. You are listening to the Armstrong and Getty Show.